Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to educate, inspire our audience by giving people and organizations who are making a big impact in our community a platform to share how, what, and why they do what they do. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today's topic is something that's near and dear to our hearts at EIG, and that's education. We love to provide education in many different forms so people can be confident in making an informed decision on something. And when that education involves finances, well, all the better, because that's what we do. We work mostly with adults and retirees, but what about financial education for young kids? Now, unfortunately, they don't offer a whole lot of it in our schools, but the more exposure and skill building students can do from an early age around financial literacy and money management, the more prepared and less stressed they are as adults when facing financial decisions. And that's where our first guest comes into the picture. Welcome to the show today, Julie Granger, president of Junior Achievement, whose curriculum provides the building blocks for financial literacy. Thanks for joining us today, Julie.
Thank you so much, Jill. I'm really thrilled to be here and very grateful for the opportunity.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Tell us what it is about JA that makes you proud to lead the organization.
Sure. So I have always been passionate about education and the role that it really plays in changing people's lives. I know for me personally, it has made a huge impact on my career. And I've spent the bulk of my career prior to coming to JA with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. So that was all about supporting the business community. And I think the role at JA today brings together both of my passions in a very unique intersection. So it's great to be here.
Well, in MMAC, we are very involved with. So maybe that's where I've met you before, because you do certainly look familiar. So maybe our paths have crossed at MMAC.
Yeah, very likely.
Yeah. Well, JA has been around for a long time. Listeners may remember the program from when they were in school or when their children had a JA learning experience. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the organization?
Sure. You would not believe how many people I encounter that have their own personal JA story. So many of the folks that I talk to either experienced it themselves in school or their kids have experienced it, and we have been around a really long time. So that makes a lot of sense, right? We were founded in 1919, actually.
Wow, yeah. I had no idea you've been around that long. Okay, great, wow.
And a lot of people remember actually the company program, which was the first program that they did, and it was actually after school, and students were given the ability to come up with a business idea, actually manufacture a product, and then go out and sell it. And that was the first program that we did for a very long time. And then starting in the 70s, JA entered the classroom. So they were able to go in and teach a number of courses, a lot of them along the lines of economics and social studies. And we still do a lot of that work today. Today, Junior Achievement is the nation's largest organization dedicated to giving young people the knowledge and the skills they need to own their economic success, which I think is really the theme here today, right?
Yes.
And we do this through three foundational pillars: financial literacy, career readiness, and entrepreneurship.
Okay, so let's start local. What about here in Wisconsin? How does JA deliver on its mission?
Sure. So JA of Wisconsin actually started way back in 1940, and we are a statewide organization. We have five regional offices throughout the state. offering over 60 learning experiences to students all the way from kindergarten through 12th grade, and actually now we're even going beyond 12th grade. This year we're on track to reach 130,000 students, and more than half of those are right here in Southeast Wisconsin. And here's an important point, almost all of our programs are free or very low cost. They are supported through our generous donors who cover those costs.
That is important to share. Yeah, that's wonderful.
So maybe it'd be helpful to give you just a couple of examples of the different kinds of programs that JA does. And they vary kind of across the spectrum from grade school all the way through high school, right? So JAR community is one of our most common problems and very popular at the elementary level. And it's taught in 5 classroom sessions through a volunteer coming into that particular classroom. And it's all about learning about the community's economy and the importance of being involved and responsible citizens. So that's one of those building blocks that you talked about. And then at the middle school, this is where kids are just starting to think about, what do I want to do with my life? Where are my interests? And so they might take part in a career day fair, for example. And I actually got to participate in one of these a couple of weeks ago at Eisenhower School in New Berlin. And so I was there talking about what it's like to run a nonprofit. And the person in the classroom next to me was a funeral director. There was a first responder, a pilot. So kids really got to see the spectrum of careers that are available to them.
Nice, nice.
And then at the high school level, we go even deeper. And so often those are semester long courses, and they really build that entrepreneurial mindset. So we are still very focused on teaching those kinds of skills as well. And of course, we have a semester long class in financial literacy and personal finance. And I should note also that all JA programs are built to support national and state standards in reading, math, social studies, and in work and career readiness. So they are really constructed by experts in the education field to meet those standards.
Very nice. Well, in the Milwaukee area, there are many fifth graders that participate in a program called BizTown. That's actually where I have volunteered in the past. Great program. Can you explain what that experience is like?
Sure. So every year we've got about 15,000 students that visit us at our center, our education center, and they either go through BizTown or our sister program, JA Finance Park. And students, before they even come, complete 12 in-class lessons so that they're prepared to walk through those doors. And really one of the highlights of my day is in the morning when the buses arrive and the kids get off the bus, and to see their eyes just open wide when they see this miniature town.
Yes,
that they are gonna...
Yes, it's quite impressive. Yes, it is.
Yes. And so every student is given a job for the day. They might be a banker, or they might be the CFO at Culver's, or even the mayor. And it's great. Some of the kids totally dress up. We see a lot of people showing up in dresses and with suits and ties. So they're really...
dressing the part.
Exactly, right. So they spend the first half of the day earning their money in their jobs and then learning how to become responsible consumers in the afternoon with the paychecks and the money that they've earned. And it's really amazing to see the kids put it all together and work as teams in these various companies. And then with Finance Park, here the focus is really on that financial responsibility and budgeting. So a student is randomly assigned a life scenario, and they could be a married engineer earning $300,000, or maybe a single mother of two who's working as a construction worker. And then they need to build a budget around that salary. So they get to make choices on how they spend everything from their transportation to housing, childcare, entertainment, and even insurance and utilities. So I had one little boy talk about how he had to make the really hard choice between, is he going to buy the 3-bedroom home or is he going to buy the sports car? So they're...
I've been a part of that as well, and it really is interesting to work with the students in that capacity because they're looking for help. They have no idea that how much they need to budget for groceries, for example, or, you know, there's this thing called insurance that you have to kind of plug into your budget as well. It really is a great learning exercise.
It is. It is so eye-opening, and I've had students tell me that now they understand some of the tough choices their parents have to make. Or even in some cases, they say these are valuable skills that they want to take home and teach their parents about.
That's really great when it extends into the home where the child is teaching the parent, right?
Right.
That's wonderful. Well, educators and students are facing more challenges than ever before. How is JA meeting those needs?
Yeah, so students and teachers are really still suffering the effects of COVID. I know we're a few years past it now, but you know, a survey by McKinsey found that the U.S. lost on average, U.S. students, excuse me, lost on average 7 to 12 months of learning in math and 4 to 8 months in reading. And many of those students now, they're not only behind, but they're disengaged. And I think what Junior Achievement does so well is it offers alternatives to traditional learning through much more experiential learning. And, you know, we know students of color experience even greater learning loss during these years and are more at risk for not completing high school and pursuing higher education. And here in Milwaukee, a majority of the students that we serve actually through our programs through BizTown and Finance Park are low income and students of color. And the real life learning that JA provides has really never been more necessary or relevant.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, I know in Finance Park, you have a lot of local businesses represented there. How do you support? Give us an idea on how you support local businesses.
Sure. Well, the link between JA and the business community is obviously very strong. We have companies of all sizes and all industries telling us that talent is the number one challenge that they face, and they need employees not only with the skills but the mindset to take on the jobs that they have. And talent's the greatest resource that companies can have. So we need to make sure the talent that we have here can meet the demands of those employers. And Junior Achievement provides that critical connection between education and careers, right? So corporate donors and sponsors that are involved with us have the opportunity to showcase not only their industry and their brand, but the kinds of jobs that they have available. So it's really kind of giving them that inside idea on what they might want to pursue later on.
That's a key point, I think, in linking young students to ideas for, because they may not know. Right? They may come in not knowing at all what they want to pursue, but exposure to these things gives them ideas. So why is entrepreneurship one of your key pillars? And how does JA support entrepreneurism?
Well, entrepreneurs are really essential to growing the economy. So according to Forbes, small businesses employ a total of 61 million people. That's almost half the U.S. workforce. And in the past 25 years, small businesses have been responsible for generating 13 million net new jobs. So this is where a lot of the job growth is happening in our economy, and it's something that we really need to encourage here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has not always been at the top of the list for new business startups, and that's changing, but it's something that really needs to be reinforced. I mean, you think about our history, and we have great companies like Harley-Davidson that were started here. And more recently, we've got a company like Epic Systems in Madison, right? A great med tech giant. So you can see the power of companies that start small and grow big. So we need to do all we can to encourage and support young people as they think about the possibility of starting their own business.
I agree. Well, JA and EIG definitely agree on this important idea of education, but there is that particular area of education that we could both spend hours talking about that. And we're gonna talk more about it after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Julie Granger, president of Junior Achievement. I mentioned before the break how EIG couldn't agree more with Junior Achievement as far as the importance of education. And there's one particular focus where we could really go on and on for hours. And it's one of our focuses as well as one of yours for obvious reasons, Julie. And it happens to be your second pillar, and that's financial literacy. So how does JA help students take control of their financial futures?
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier, Jill, that you know there's not been a ton of financial literacy as part of the educational curriculum, and I know that was certainly true when I was a student. It was not a separate class that was offered. But recently, just back in last December, Wisconsin became the 24th state in the country to enact a law that now requires high school graduates to complete a semester-long course in financial literacy.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about time, yeah.
So Wisconsin schools can fulfill this mandate with a semester-long curricula that has been offered by Junior Achievement for many years. It is time-tested and turnkey, and it's simply called JA Financial Literacy. And it's a teacher-led course that equips high school students with really foundational personal finance skills, including how to earn and save money, how to manage money by being a wise consumer, creating and using a budget, managing bank accounts, investments and credit, and assessing risks and using insurance. It even addresses things like identity theft and debt. And one of the ways that we're really extending this mission, so we're talking about the high school course, but often these principles really don't come to life for people until they're actually in it, right? Mm-hmm. And managing their own finances. And I've got two students right now in college, so I have a personal vested interest in them doing a great job of managing their own budgets and money. But for the first time ever, Junior Achievement of Wisconsin is entering a pilot program with the University of Wisconsin Stout, so in the northwest corner of our state. And they are partnering with them to bring financial literacy more to that 18 to 25-year-old group.
Nice.
So helping students, you know, in the moment of when they are facing things like tuition bills and loans coming due. So helping them through that process so they can get to and through college.
That's great. Well, speaking of college, college and career readiness is your third pillar. And it's at the heart of what you do. So how does Junior Achievement help prepare students, no matter what their future path may be?
Yeah, I think career readiness is really baked into all JA learning experiences. These are the kinds of skills that serve students no matter where they land in a career, and it's what employers say they need the most. So nothing prepares students for a career like starting their own business, right? And recently, we held our annual Young Entrepreneur Live event. And this is actually a statewide competition for students ages 10 to 18 that have already started their own business. So they're not just thinking about it. It's an operating business. And these kids are incredible. They are managing not only their schoolwork and their extracurriculars and maybe sports, but they're thinking about things like inventory control and, you know, how am I going to market my products and services? So the four finalists just came together and we had the competition and they were incredible. There was a young man, only 11 years old, who'd started his own candy business. We had a woman who started a sewing business based on taking articles of clothing that belonged to loved ones who had passed and repurposing them into mementos.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And the winner actually was here in Franklin High School. And he not only designed, but he manufactured an AI-enabled keyboard. So, I mean, these kids are doing really incredible things
at a very
young age.
And how old was that individual?
He's 18.
And oh, my goodness.
Heading off to college next year with a whole lot of experience under his belt.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Well, volunteers, we talk about almost with every nonprofit the importance of volunteers, and they're a huge part of JA's learning experiences. Share with us why they're so important.
We need 7,000 volunteers roughly every year to do the work we do across the state. So they are an integral part of everything we do, and they're really our secret sauce. And I gotta say, our volunteers are the best. I see them every day on site in our building. I've seen them when we go out and do some of the classroom programs. And they really come from all different kinds of backgrounds. We've got college students, we have parents, we have retirees, and kids love it when they are interacting with an adult that may not be their parent or their teacher, right? These are people who have chosen to take their time and invest in young people, and I think they get a new view of things, and they bring such diverse viewpoints to the work that they're doing.
I can attest to that, because again, volunteering, it was an eye-opener to understand that we have something right here in our community that is a great resource. And you know what it does for parents is it gives them ideas on how they can go back home and share that stuff with their kids.
Yeah,
it's really awesome. Yeah.
Right. And I think JA can pride itself on making the volunteer experience really easy. Mm-hmm. It can be one and done. You can go in a classroom once and teach one day. You can do what I did, which was being a career day speaker, which is really fun to just be able to relate your experience. And it gives you the opportunity to be the mentor that you always wish you had and the ability to pay it forward. And it feels really good. I found out through research for this program, Jill, that volunteering can actually lead to lower rates of depression and anxiety, especially for people 65 and older.
Oh, there you go. So if you're a retiree, that's got some ideas for you there, right? So how do you measure then some of the long-term impacts of JA?
Yeah, it can be pretty difficult to track students over a long period of time after they've, you know, gone on from their school years. But a couple of years ago, JA USA conducted a large-scale study, and they surveyed 7,400 Americans over the age of 18, and about 1,000 of those were Junior Achievement alumni. So they were able to compare and contrast those who had been through JA programming with those who had not. And there were some really powerful findings. So 90% of JA alumni report that JA provided an important role in helping them believe that they can achieve their goals. Mm. And 82% of alumni agree they now have a strong financial footing. This one, important to me again, 68% of JA alumni between the ages of 18 and 29 say they're financially independent of their parents.
Yay!
And that's compared to 34% of general Americans that age. So you can really see the difference there. Mm. And when it comes to entrepreneurship, more than half of JA alumni report that they've started or owned a business at least once in their lives.
Wow. Yeah. Hearing those stats just solidifies the fact that financial literacy is so key. And again, the earlier you start with your youngins, the better, right?
Absolutely.
Your littles need to just, I mean, you can start before kindergarten by just, you know, I'm sure there are games and books that can be read, but you're kind of planting a seed on the importance of it.
Yep.
And then organizations like JA just help with the process along the way. That's just wonderful. Well, what are some of the ways that individuals can participate or contribute? We've heard a lot of really great things that you're doing in the community. If someone's listening and they want to get involved somehow, give us an idea of some of the opportunities.
Well, I mentioned that we need literally thousands of volunteers each year to do our work. And so we do make it really easy, and we give you everything you need to be comfortable and prepared to either walk into that classroom or be part of JA BizTown or JA Finance Park. And anybody with a passion for young people can really do this. And second, if we are not in your child's school or your grandchild's school or your niece or your nephew, help us by making an introduction. We're always looking to expand our work into more schools, especially at the middle and the high school levels. So we can work with administrators to find a program that really works best with the curriculum that they already have in place. And teachers have the option of requesting specific programs. They can do that online. And one of our education managers will contact them to get the ball rolling on that. And then third, in order to provide our programs at no or very low cost, we need financial support to make that possible. And you can contribute to our campaign. You could even sponsor just an individual class for $83. We also have two outstanding annual fundraising events that are a lot of fun. We've got our holiday auction in early December and our signature Wisconsin Business Hall of Fame in late spring or early summer. And that event recognizes legends in business from around the entire state. And each year we induct four laureates, which is an award that recognizes truly the best in business. So these are individuals whose innovations, effective management, civic involvement have made a real difference in their companies and in their communities. And the laureates are also recognized for the high standards they set as role models for Wisconsin's young people. So really, there's a lot of different ways to get involved, but volunteering is absolutely a wonderful way to spend from 1 hour to several days making a difference in the life of a young person.
Nice. And now I imagine you can just Google Junior Achievement Wisconsin, but do you have a website in particular or a phone number?
We do. You can take the next step by visiting wisconsin.ja.org.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Julie Granger, President of Junior Achievement. Thank you for sharing all the ways that you make a difference in this very important area of education.
Thank you so much, Jill.
You're welcome. Well, partnerships between organizations is so critical in enhancing and extending the services offered. After commercial break, we're going to learn about an organization that Junior Achievement works with that complements and enhances their mission. Stay tuned because we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Daryl Mangieri, Executive Director from Consumer Credit Counseling Services, a nonprofit whose mission is to help individuals and families achieve financial stability to improve their quality of life. Welcome to the show today, Daryl.
Oh, thank you, Jill, and thank you for having me, and thank you for the hospitality, and the coffee has been fantastic.
You're welcome, and the cookies. We provide great gluten-free cookies as well, right? Why don't you tell us why you enjoy assisting individuals and families manage their finances?
Well, many of the individuals that we help, in excess of 88%, are experiencing some type of financial distress. Maybe it's a one-time financial issue, maybe it's long-term. And nothing brings me greater joy than to see someone walk in for an appointment. Their head is down, they're downcast, there's not that spark or glimmer in their eye. And 45 minutes or an hour later, when they leave the session, there's that sparkle, there's that glimmer in their eye, their head is up, and they have hope. Hope that they will be able to make it through these troubled waters.
Mm. Well, and you have you had shared with me that you have a quote that you really like from Immanuel Kant. Can you share what that is?
Yes, it's an incredible quote. And so many times when we think about wealth and being rich, it's always about the material possessions. But really, it's about looking at what you can live without. When we look at needs and wants, what can you really live without? And that's kind of the preface of Immanuel Kant's quote.
And so his quote says, "We are not rich by what we possess, but by what we can do without." I just think that's an incredible quote and one that is worth sharing. So CCCS, as part of Family Service Association, has been in existence since 1912, meeting the ever-changing needs of the community. So Daryl, can you elaborate on how these needs have changed over time, as well as highlight the services that your agency offers?
I'd be happy to. So if we could step into a time machine, Jill, and go back to 1912, picture men and women, the women with the wide brim hats, the men with the collar so tight they could barely breathe, looking at their community and figuring out what they can do. And we've never digressed from that. It's always keeping our fingers on the pulse of what the community needs. In those early days, it was more about social welfare and reform. They started one of the first community gardens in the area. They opened up one of the first child care centers. They helped unwed mothers that were seniors in high school to get through their high school experience and providing that child care. And they also worked in the court system, in the divorce courts, to maybe help out families who were navigating through those waters of divorce and how that looked for the families and the impact on those families.
Wow. Okay. So you've done a lot of different things. That's interesting. You had mentioned to me when we met prior to recording our interview that up to 70% of consumers who participate in one session with a financial coach experience a reduction in stress. So with regard to these programs that you offer, there's obviously a correlation between financial literacy and financial distress. Talk to us about that.
Yes, and I love that quote, that 70%, that's a recent metric that we've obtained through SurveyMonkey and following up with those people that we've helped. We always check in at the six-month mark and continue to check in on their progress to see if we can help them, if there's any questions. But that particular metric really, really hits home with me. So that whole idea of financial stress can permeate someone's life. And it's the role of our counselors to kind of dig deep and help people and instill that hope and provide options. What happened in 1990, just kind of going back, as I said, the start of our organization, we were really interested in the keeping our fingers on the pulse of what was needed. In 1990, there was a community needs study. And the research that we received back was there were two distinct areas that people needed help. They needed help with personal finances, and they needed help with financial education. So we have really hung our hats on those two points ever since. It hasn't changed, although we continue to evaluate. And individuals come to us in that state of financial distress. What we've uncovered, though, is individuals who have been acclimated to financial tools very young in their life, such as what Junior Achievement provides, and have those tools, are better equipped to handle struggles they may have in the future as far as finances. But we work with individuals who didn't have that and could not turn to their parents and say, yes, I had a strong role model who helped me understand finances and savings and things like that. So in a lot of cases, we're starting fresh with them, talking about a budget, building a budget, a realistic budget, even budgets that have a deficit, and helping them to grow that over time, to make that a zero balance budget or maybe even a surplus budget. But we know that everyone starts at a different point. No two people are at the same level. They're in different rungs of the ladder. So we have to identify in a very non-judgmental way where they are and how we can help move them forward. We don't force feed people, say, do this, do this, do this, do this, but we are options people. We provide them a laundry list of options, and we'll tell them, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, what works best for you and your family? And there's that whole sense of empowerment. And then we follow them through the process for as long as they want.
Okay. Well, we talked about the financial distress. You talked about how you see many people coming through your doors in that state. Unfortunately, there's sometimes a stigma surrounding financial distress that often causes individuals to avoid seeking help. So for those people that come to you in that stage of their lives where they are just so distressed from a financial perspective, how does CCCS help to erode that stigma?
Well, first of all, we employ individuals that are very gregarious. They're good at building rapport, and really the foundational element for all we do is building that trust. So we start off right away when an individual calls to schedule an appointment. The person that they hear on the other end of the line is going to celebrate with them, saying, this is so great, you're taking the first step towards financial stability. They'll tell them all about the appointment. They'll tell them who their counselor is going to be. They'll walk them through a typical appointment and anything they need to bring to the appointment, financial documents, or just a good understanding of where they sit with a checking or a savings account or any debt that they have. And when they meet the counselor, it's like there's already been a warm handshake. Mm. So from that point, we build rapport. A lot of us will even share some personal anecdotes or personal stories saying we've all experienced some type of financial hardship at some point in our lives or another. So we kind of level the playing field. We tell them there's nothing to be ashamed about. We're not going to shame you. You're taking the first step. We want to help you for as long as you may need. And just basically sharing that premise that we've all basically struggled at some point or another. These are individuals that have had a loss of appetite, a loss of sleep, who've been so preoccupied with their finances that it's led into lower productivity at work. With that preoccupation, it also can lead to more accidents on the job. So it permeates every area of their life. It affects their interpersonal relationships. And we know that one of the major struggles in a marriage is our finances. And it's important that husbands and wives and significant others talk about those things. And when it's tucked under the rug and kept a secret, that's when problems develop. It's also good to pull your children into basic financial discussions. hey, kids, we're planning a trip. We have X amount of money. What should we do? How can we stretch our dollars? And how can we save and prepare now for this trip that we're planning? Get the children involved. It's very important.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I 100% agree with you with taking that first step, saying I need help. You know, so many people in various areas of our lives need help. And so to take that first step and say, hey, this is an area where I need help, and to reach out and get that, because there's many places that people can do that. Well, why is being exposed to education in personal money management at an early age so important? And can you share how your relationship with JA has opened up new opportunities for your agency to grow?
Well, I thought I'd share it just with a personal story. So my dad was a crack mechanic, but you had to have special tools for each job you did. Every car is different. So, you know, you're working on the calipers, you're doing brakes, you need a special tool there, you need a bleeding tool. And the same thing applies when children are introduced. And some recent research from Cambridge University said that most children have already formed their concepts of money by the age of by second grade. And they are starting to develop tools. So there's a repetition that takes place in their learning. And these tools can be used at a later point if they experience some type of financial struggle or just to manage their personal finances on a monthly or yearly basis. And there's a lot of people that work with that don't have those tools. So it's giving them the tools and the ammunition they need to weather the storm now and to go back and say, hey, I had a similar problem and I had those tools in my toolkit and my repertoire, and going back and using those tools again. And they're time-tested tools.
And so how has this relationship with JA opened up new opportunities?
And that's a great question. We are so grateful to Junior Achievement for this partnership we've developed. We are serving as volunteers in the classroom, mostly with the R Community curriculum. And by building these relationships with the children and this trust, the children go home excited and they tell their families about Consumer Credit Counseling Service. And the potential of working with those families and helping them has grown exponentially. We are so grateful for that partnership. It's been a great inroad for us.
I imagine so. Well, you talk about tools, Daryl. You know, I'm sure many people have heard that if you have the right tool, it makes the job a whole lot easier. After we take a commercial break, Daryl will talk to us about an important tool that they use to make a particular job a whole lot easier. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And I'm talking in our last segment, continuing our conversation with Daryl Mangieri from Consumer Credit Counseling Services. So, Daryl, we talked about the right tools make a particular task so much easier. So what's one of the primary tools used by your financial coaches to help consumers who struggle to make ends meet?
Well, the foundational tool that we use is the budget, and sometimes that word isn't very palatable, so we can even water it down and say spending plan. So we work with individuals to create a realistic spending plan of where they are now and after looking at some options of where they would like to be. But it is definitely first and foremost the budget. And we've noticed just with some of the recent statistics, in 2023, 72% of Americans were utilizing a budget to manage their monthly finances. And in 2024, that has grown to about 84%. So we know that budgets are important.
Ooh, that's the important tool. That's the important tool in the toolkit, budgets. Are there common traps that consumers fall into when money management issues surface?
Yes, in dire straits, many people will go to a payday loan store and take out a loan. There's exorbitant interest. It's like paying that loan back 5 and 6 times over and over again. Title loan stores, well, they'll surrender the title to their car. And if they do not meet the payment deadlines, not only will they lose the car, they'll probably still end up continuing to pay for a car that they don't own. They will put more money onto their credit cards. And what we've noticed too in this ever-changing economy, especially that concerns groceries, many people will charge even the basic essentials.
Well, how do you okay, we talked about the fact that there are so many people that are in need of financial literacy and tools, as we talked about. How do you attract consumers that are in need of your services? How do you find those people that need what you have?
You know, we utilize a traditional marketing mix. We've used billboards in the past. We do a two-minute podcast. We are just really try to be active in the community, but our number one referral source is actually financial institutions. They realize that with staffing that they don't have the capacity to really delve deep. They can help someone do a budget, but that ongoing follow-up, which is so important, they don't have, so they turn to us. The second source is this word of mouth. Someone who's been helped before, they're pleased with our services, they will refer a family member or friend. So those are probably the two biggest ways that we're able to market the programs and services we offer in the community.
Okay. Well, can you walk us through what's included in a typical financial coaching session, as well as what's the time commitment required for people who want to participate in the sessions?
Well, I'll start off with the time commitment because we know time is so precious today. The length of the appointment is 45 minutes to an hour. It can be conducted in person, over the phone, or in a virtual format. So we try to alleviate any excuses, any distractions that would prevent someone from seeking help. And it's a complete financial assessment. When they walk through the door or over the phone or virtually, we'll look at some demographic information. We'll do a problem qualification. Why are you seeking help today? And we start moving through the process. We'll look at their assets. We'll look at their income. We'll build a budget. And one of my favorite parts, because it's very interactive and the consumer is involved in the entire process, we do an action plan. We discuss their short-term goals, their long-term goals. They walk out or receive in their inbox a copy of their budget, a copy of their action plan, and then we'll follow up. We'll follow up for as long as necessary. And then sometimes consumers will say, I'm good right now. But we've had consumers who come back on a monthly basis or some who will come back after 20 years and said, you helped me out then, can you help me out again?
Wow.
And that's
okay.
Probably brings the biggest smile to our face, that and seeing that glimmer of hope that they have once their session is over.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, it's a great, great offering that you have. So if somebody's listening and they either want some help, they know of someone who needs some help, or they want to help you in the services that you provide in some way, what are some ways that people can do that?
To help support our mission, first and foremost, I think, is to identify signs of financial stress that you may see in your loved ones, family, and friends, and encourage them to reach out for help. As I said, there's a stigma that permeates any type of financial issues, and there's shame and guilt. And a lot of times we do that to ourselves. As we say, we're often our own worst critic. We are the toughest on ourselves. And it's taking the first step, making the call, setting up the appointment, and then moving forward. And we will celebrate with you when you make that first call. So that's the first step, is to identify that people around you are struggling. Secondly, to encourage them to reach out to an agency such as ours. We're nonprofit, we're non-judgmental, we're here to help. It's totally free of charge. Secondly, is to find ways that you could donate. We're very much looking for donors to help us in our mission. And we also do an annual fundraiser every year in April, kind of has a murder mystery type theme. So we're in our second year of doing that.
Nice. Okay, well, that sounds interesting. So what's the best way? Is it a website that people can go to? Is it a phone number? What's the best way for people to reach out?
Well, they can reach us through our website at ccconline.org or simply call our 800 number. It's a really easy number to remember, 800-350-CCCS.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, I want to thank my guest today, Daryl Mangieri from Consumer Credit Counseling Services, and Julie Granger, president of Junior Achievement. I appreciate you both sharing how you make an impact in our community, from youth to adults in the area of financial literacy. So thank you to both of you for participating today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jill.
You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Junior Achievement or CCCS, and they can either help you directly or point you in the right direction. If you know of a great organization that does great work in our community that you think would make a great guest for our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference in our community in a number of ways. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, or you can go to newstalk1130.com on your computer, or you can listen on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. And I also encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can now listen on demand. So my call to action today is to give some thought to how you might be able to help a young student or an adult in the area of financial literacy. We can all make a difference in some way for someone in our community if we're aware of the opportunities to do so. And there are so many ways that someone can get involved. Our guests have shared today many ways they make a difference. Maybe you can do the same, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or simply advocating for their respective organizations. I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated. So take some time to find a way that you can be a blessing and give a blessing to someone today, tomorrow, and beyond. Thanks for listening and have a great day.